Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished and senior corporate leader from Cincinnati, USA, Mr. Tony Saldana. Tony, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Ashutosh.
Thank you. Tony is the president transformant. He's also an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's the co-author of a book titled Revolutionizing Business Operations, and we'll talk about his book. He's the CEO and co-founder of Inixia, which is a global standard and certification body for the shared services industry. He's run Procter & Gamble's famed multi-billion dollar GBS and IT operations in every region across the world during a 27-year career. And in 2013, he was named Computer World's Premier 100 IT Professionals. So Tony, before we get into Transformant and Inixia, tell me a little bit about your own amazing journey in brief.
Oh, I think I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time. I kind of grew up with the IT and shared services industry. I worked prior to Procter & Gamble in the U.S. for a few years with Unisys Corporation. Mm-hmm. And then later on, joined Procter & Gamble in Asia. And over a 27-year career there, mm-hmm. had the fortune of, you know, helping start up the first ever shared services, offshore services in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I was program leader of one of the, probably the single largest outsourcing deal, which is mm-hmm. a 10-year, $8 billion deal between P&G and HP, and then, of course, running operations. So it's been a fantastic career, and I loved every minute of it.
I'm sure. So let's now talk about Transformant and Inixia, which are in the digital and shared services business. Can you give our listeners an overview of what shared services mean in today's business context?
Oh, that's a great question, Ashutosh. So, you know, I'm sure your listeners are aware of, you know, companies like Tata and Infosys that run back offices, right? So whether it is, you know, accounting or HR transactions or IT transactions, in fact, I mean, you know, this is an industry in its own right. You know, in India, one of the fastest growing industries globally. So what most companies do is, in order to drive efficiency and cost reductions in operations, they take some of this common work, and instead of doing it in different departments and different countries, they sweep it together, create an organization which is variously called shared services or global business services. And then, you know, that organization can figure out sourcing strategies, whether to do the work, you know, in-house or then outsource it. But that's been the history of shared services over the past 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. The interesting fact is that this particular organization for most countries, companies rather, has now been identified as the number one enabler of digital transformation for most mm-hmm. companies. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these are people that know technology, they know the internal work processes, and they know change management.
Right.
And so instead of bringing in a McKinsey or a Bain or, you know, somebody else to drive transformation, why would you not employ this organization as transformation agents inside the company? So it's been a very evolving industry, and therefore a great area to focus on.
Amazing. And what would you say are the top three trends that you see shaping this particular industry over the next few years?
You know, of course, the rise of technology, whether it's artificial intelligence and, you know, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's number one trend. The second trend is, you know, what I call reimagining work processes. And I'll give you an example of that, including actually of both of those trends. So let's take something as mundane as travel and expense reports, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you and I travel, let's say from, you know, Delhi to New York, and then we end up having to fill in our expenses in that report. Most companies do that. And if you want to make that efficient, then of course, you know, you might automate it or have people offshore to look at transactions versus credit cards and stuff like that. Now, let's reimagine that. You know, at the end of the day, travel and expenses and travel and expense reports are in support of having to go from point A to point B for meetings or some purposes, right? That's not a core business in itself for any company, whether it's Procter & Gamble or anybody else. So can we do that using data differently? And that's exactly what Google and Adobe and others do. So what they might do is say, all right, you know, Ashutosh, you want to travel from New York to London, you know, go online to the system, which has all data of all potential, you know, permutations and combinations of travel. And then you put in your itinerary and the system spits out a number. It says, Ashutosh, your total travel dollar budget for this trip is, I don't know, $10,000. At that point in time, your entire process, expense reports, is done in the sense that if you want to book a ticket, you book it wherever you want. You don't have to use a certain agency. You can book it on Google or whatever it is. Just use your corporate credit card, right? If you want to stay in London, you know, you can choose whatever hotel you want to use as long as it's within the budget, and the same for all other expenses. All of those transactions get swept in by those credit card receipts, data rather, and it basically, you know, eliminates the needs to create a travel expense report. But the best part is you don't have any back office. You don't have any need to do travel and expense report formatting. You don't have any procurement people to, you know, do deals with travel agencies. And data has shown that when you empower employees to make their own decisions, they save 15 to 35% of the company's budget. So that's an example of using technology and processes to reimagine the way operations are done.
How amazing. Thank you. And what are some of the common challenges your clients approach you with when it comes to digital transformation in shared services?
So I think the biggest challenge for most organizations is that, you know, as you well know, Ashutosh, 70% of all digital transformations fail to achieve their objectives, which is which is actually a sad statistic, given that this is a $1.7 trillion industry in the globe. And, you know, it's also a very important industry. You know, it is behind all of the change that we see around us. And so, you know, that's probably the number one issue, where companies want to drive some change, you know, either in their product portfolio or their internal operations. And they feel like they either don't have the capability or they have a record internally of having missed, you know, their own goals. Now, part of this is certainly related to technology, right? You know, how technology gets implemented. But, you know, Ashutosh, as you probably know, as well as I do, the largest causes of failure have nothing to do with technology. It is all about change management. So that's a lot of the work that I do.
Very interesting. And since you spoke about technology, I'd love to get your perspective on how do you see emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, IoT, and so many others affecting shared services?
You know, AI, blockchain, and all of those emerging technologies are at the heart of what's happening to internal business operations. And that's really, you know, the focus of the newly released book, as in last month, on revolutionizing business operations. See, the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, shared services, back office services, whether it is, you know, HR related transactional stuff or, you know, accounting or supply chain, you know, planning and execution, these are just pieces of data transactions, right? And as artificial intelligence or blockchain start to become more and more capable, you have the opportunity to reimagine these. So, you know, I'll give you one example. Let's take something as simple as payroll, right? Every company needs to have some kind of payroll operation that you can, you know, improve it and automate it and, you know, make it more accurate and low cost to a certain extent. But at some point in time, you have to ask yourself, isn't all types of payments, whether it is payroll or accounts payable or, discounts that you pay to your customers, like in the case of Procter & Gamble, it might be a Walmart, aren't those just payments?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we kind of think of them as belonging to finance versus HR versus sales in my example, right? And if you kind of think of them as payments, then, could you use technology such as, blockchain to have immutable records so that there are no disputes? Could you not use artificial intelligence to take a dispute? So let's say P&G, paid for a certain amount to one of its suppliers. And then the supplier says, well, we never got all of the payment that we expected. Mm. You open up a dispute. Using AI, you could figure out using data in real time whether that dispute was valid or not. So these are the kind of things that are completely reimagining internal operations.
Incredible. And when you talk about Enixia being a global standards and certification body, what is the kind of standardization and certification this 13.1 trillion business need?
So the fact of the matter is that, as I was saying, shared services or global business services, within its really short span of existence as an industry, literally 40 years, has gone from being, the back office of the back office. I mean, you will recall this from, your own days of running business operations in different, or companies rather, in different industries, when it came to things like, closing the books, finance or payroll, you had somebody in a function somewhere, probably in a basement, that ran the transactions, right? And your job as the CEO or the functional or the business unit leader was to say, hey, this is what I need, just get it done, cheaply, so on and so forth. So the evolution of shared services was take transactional work and do it at low cost. Today, global business services has been identified as the number one enabler for boards of directors to transform their companies.
Wow.
Right. So as a global business services executive, right? Mm. So, the work that, my co-author Filippo and I did at Procter & Gamble in running shared services, global business services, you really have to transform yourself because the skills that it took to run payroll or, closing the books cheaply are not the same skills that you need for transforming the operations of the company, a la McKinsey. The first skill set of running back office is either cheap labor or business process outsourcing. The second, the latter skill set of transformation is a McKinsey-like skill set, right? And those are very, very different skill sets. And so a lot of the work that we do at Enixia is to help companies assess, what is their level of maturity? Are they closer to being a back office, in Gurgaon, TCS type of a factory, as opposed to a, Madison Avenue, sorry, McKinsey skill set. And then what are the various steps and stages by which they can, achieve that transformation? So that's a lot of work we do.
Very interesting. So one more question relating to shared service, and then I want to move to your book. What, in your view, are some of the potential risks or challenges businesses should be aware of when they move to shared services?
So again, I think that's a very perceptive question because, there is a statistic that when organizations move towards shared services within the first couple of years or so, two-thirds of those transitions and transformations fail. And there are primarily three reasons, right? When you move towards shared services, essentially what you're doing is, you know, you are sweeping similar work, right? So payroll being done for one country with another one, or, you know, in one department versus another one. And then you're saying, okay, let's sweep it all together and do it at scale, right? Now, that can fail because, you know, reason number one is more often than not, this is a loss of control for the existing organization, right? So I used to be the HR manager of, you know, let's say a particular country. Now you have this new entity that's taken my work, payroll. They don't even know it. I've spent a lifetime being good at it. And how can you assure me that you're going to do this better than me, right? So that's change resistance. That's, you know, change in control. So you have to be very good at understanding and appreciating and counteracting that.
Right.
The second reason why it fails is because a lot of times the people that become part of the new shared services organizations, they don't really come from an industry of transformation. They come from either finance or HR. So they know how to run payroll. They don't really have the same skill set, you know, like I was saying, of a McKinsey or whatever to drive transformation.
Yeah.
So that's a quite a big lift to transform their own skill sets, right? So that's the second reason why a lot of these things fail. The third is because, you know, the industry is young, the industry of shared services. So many people basically misunderstand their job. They think their job is to deliver cost savings through cheap labor, whereas in reality, you know, that was the shared, that was our grandfather's shared services, so to speak, or 40 years ago.
Right.
Today, I think it's a totally different entity. So these are the three primary reasons.
Amazing. Thank you. So Tony, let's move to your book, Revolutionizing Business Operations. Tell me about your book and your hypothesis when you wrote it.
So when Filippo and I wrote this book, you know, one of the things what we wanted to do was to take all of our experiences at Procter & Gamble and try and see if we could, you know, put some of those models into the open market, the open ecosystem, if you will. Because around COVID, Filippo and I were exchanging notes that a lot of the work that we did individually happened to be, you know, as we were being called in by the Big Four consultancies, as they were trying to figure out, you know, how to get practical advice and experience to these companies that wanted to transform their operations. So, you know, we were essentially the consultants to the consultancies. And one of the things that Filippo and I thought was, you know, at this stage in our life, we're really not looking for, you know, either running an organization or the next source of revenue. What we probably ought to be doing is taking some of these, you know, experiences and models and putting it out there as consumable practices so that anybody could access them. And so that was really a lot of the motivation for us to say, yeah, you know, perhaps we should take a crack at writing a book and putting it out there.
How amazing. And, you know, Tony, you focus on three drivers of change in your book. Tell me about these and help me understand these with an example.
Yes. So so the hypothesis of the book is that, look, you know, most companies think of back office operations, you know, like finance or HR or IT or supply chain as the cost of doing business. So, you know, if I'm running a retail business, I still need to find a way to, you know, cheaply and efficiently and effectively process orders and pay people and, you know, stuff like that, right? The book's hypothesis is that, look, if you approach this as the price of doing business, you are missing on 30% of your potential Wall Street value generation. Studies by McKinsey have shown that companies that actually have really strong operating models and internal business operations, deliver a 30% extra valuation, right, in terms of stock price to their peers. Okay. So then the question becomes, okay, you know, how can we turn what we've historically thought of as the price of business, of doing business, to becoming a competitive advantage? And that's where we say you have to run your internal operations, you know, like finance or IT, as if they were, in, you know, product organizations, not as if they were bureaucracies. So, you know, when I was a CEO, CIO a long time ago, you know, the role of the CIO was governance and standard. It's like, oh, you want to buy that PC? No, you're not allowed. You want that software? You're not allowed, right? You know, bring it all to me.
Yeah,
that's a bureaucratic model, right? As opposed to, if I was an internal supplier within the company, I had to earn the right to exist every day. Right? I had to think in terms of, maybe the people that are suppliers are my competition. Maybe the CIO of another company who is delivering better service than I do, you know, that's my competition. So it's a mindset change. So to drive that type of mindset, you really get into those three drivers that you're talking about. The first is what we call an open market model, right? So instead of organizing your finance or IT as if it was a bureaucracy, you organize it, you know, including being very clear about the unit price of every service that you deliver inside the company, giving your business partners the choice of which of those products they want to buy. Of course, you still play a governance role. So, you know, you still say you have to use, you know, these chart of accounts and finance or this technology, but you don't stop there for all of the other services, you say. So that's one. The second is unified accountability. If you take any particular work process in a company, you know, let's say order to cash, everything from order processing to then, you know, the collecting the money, right? The fact of the matter is these typically belong to different functions, right? Ordering is sales, and then, you know, cash is finance. As you do end-to-end process, typically people are becoming really good at streamlining the processes, but they're not good at having one accountable person across these.
Right.
So we recommend that you essentially set up unified accountability for end-to-end outcomes, right? And then the third driver is called the dynamic operating engine, which is you need an operating model. You need like an engine that essentially translates all of these ideas that I just talked about into day-to-day activities, day-to-day actions, right? Pretty much the same way that, you know, you might have a Six Sigma or, you know, the Toyota, you know, way to essentially become activities in an organization. So those are the three drivers. And, you know, the best example I could give you of some of this is kind of going back to the example I had given about reinventing travel and expense reports, right? If you had a person who thought of themselves as, you know, my job is to make sure that I have the best competitive travel and expense, you know, product, then you would not stop at running this cheaper, better, faster. You would basically say, I also want to see disruptive innovation, just like any other product manager would. And then you start to say, oh, wait a minute, you know, I can treat this like a data product instead of a transactional product. Right. And I reinvent it, right? So this is how you bring it to life.
Amazing, amazing. So Tony, I have time for one more question for you. And this question is for the thousands of people who will listen to and watch our conversation. You reached to the very top. What would you say are three lessons that you would want a lot of our young viewers and listeners to take away from your life's journey as a professional?
You know, Ashutosh, I'm going to take you as an example of the first one.
Okay.
You know, for our listeners, just before the recording, I was remarking to Ashutosh that as I looked into your background, Ashutosh, you know, what struck me was that, you know, you are a constant learner and a reinventor. And I think that's what it takes, right? you know, if you really want to reach senior levels or, you know, whatever the top of your profession is, you have to reinvent yourself constantly. Right? It's uncomfortable, it's difficult, it is hard, you fail. But if you're not changing, then, you know, according to Darwin, you know, you're not necessarily going to be the ones that survive. Right?
Correct.
So that's one. The second I would say is that, you know, don't really look for your leaders and your managers to always tell you what to do, right? The difference between being a leader and being a follower is that, you know, you're not really looking for orders. You're looking for context. You're looking for, you know, directions. And then you're bringing together your own capabilities to go back and recommend perhaps how things should be done, right? So that's the second thing I would say. You know, the third thing I would say is that you have got to be willing and open to opportunities when they are given to you, right? Opportunity always knocks. In my case, you know, I've had to move along with my family over a career of 27 years at P&G about 13 times across different countries and cities, right? You know, each of them was a change. You know, some of them were more painful than others.
Correct.
But then you also have to be open to opportunities when they are given.
Well said. And Tony, on that note and your three amazing lessons, be a constant learner and reinventor. Second, you said, was don't wait to be told what to do. And the third one was be open to opportunities and grab them whenever they present themselves to you. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for speaking to me at such length about the shared services business and the amazing things that you're doing with your companies, Inixia and Transformant. Thank you also for speaking to me about your book, Revolutionizing Business Operations. Thank you again and good luck.
Oh, it's been my real pleasure and honor, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.